Nelson.
It's Holly Tanner and
Justin Weaver
on Something to Talk About here on your live local radio. Although today we're doing something different, aren't we, Justin?
Yeah, I don't even know where I am.
It's the afternoon of Tuesday. Because tomorrow is such an important special day, being Veterans Day, which would be the day of our normal show,
right.
We are taping today on Tuesday. The show will be aired. You're listening to us tomorrow. Isn't that weird? It's like Back to the Future kind of thing. You're listening to this on Wednesday, Veterans Day, but we are taping live in the studio right now for your listening enjoyment, 90.7 FM, WGXC in ACRA. So welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. We have a very special show today, very special guest in our County Veterans Coordinator, Gary Flaherty. But first, we're going to catch up on some news. Justin, what's going on?
Starbucks.
What have you
been up to? Starbucks cups.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the Starbucks cups.
Well, you know, at first, I saw this come out on Facebook, and I was like, what are you doing, Starbucks? Well, for those of you that don't know, Starbucks always had, you know, the snowflakes and the reindeer on
Christmas
their
balls.
Yeah, on their garlands and what
right,
have you,
right, right.
And joy and
right.
Peace on earth, on their cups, which, I'm sorry, in the morning I can't think about any of that stuff, I just want my coffee in me.
Right,
so,
right.
But there are some religious coffee drinkers out there that have noticed that Starbucks has gone ahead and removed all of the winter scenes.
It's just a plain red cup.
It's just a plain red cup. It's
festive
like a red,
red
Solo cup.
It's a very festive red color.
I think if people just start looking at
it.
Yeah, just start looking at it as a red Solo cup and then you'll get happy. At least I do. But,
yeah, I thought that was interesting. At first I was a little bit like, yeah, why? And then I read some more and listened to some other opinions and read some other opinions, and it's like, yeah, you know,
it's like,
is
how
what
do
it is.
We worry about everything else, and if you're really that worried about a cup, you know, you're the one that needs Jesus, and you need some Christmas in your life, because really, who cares if, you know, people are saying that it's an attack on Christmas.
Well, it wasn't like they removed Jesus from the cup, it was an ornament, or, I mean, so I've read some people saying it's not necessarily, those symbols were not necessarily the meaning of Christmas. I mean, the meaning of Christmas is the birth of Christ.
I think people just want to complain.
Yeah, it's kind of.
I mean, but, and for $5.99 to get a mocha chocolate,
slim.
You should be complaining about that, honey. You should
right.
be complaining about that, and
right.
not what's on your cup.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, what are you watching?
And we have. What? I'm watching. I haven't been watching much of anything. We've been super kind of crazy busy with the local elections.
Oh
that
right.
Have been going
yeah. Let's
on.
Talk about the elections.
So, Election Day was last Tuesday, and overall, I think. A positive, you know, from my perspective for the county, maintaining the majority on the Board of Supervisors. There's a couple of races that are still up in the air. Greenport Supervisor, still too close to call with the absentees that are out. Chatham, I don't think there's any chance in Chatham, but Hudson, the mayoral race.
Well, that's
actually
come right down to the wire, yeah. After the main general election, after, you know, you go and you vote, not counting the absentees, Tiffany Martin Hamilton has come out victorious in this part of it, 740 to 704, and I believe there's 220 absentee ballots that are still yet to be counted.
Right.
So I guess the projected winner is Tiffany because the majority of those absentee ballots are Democrats. if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, see, I haven't looked at any lists or heard any of that detail, but I believe each camp is saying that they more, so, you know.
You might be the winner, Holly.
I think it's Justin Gargantua.
Yeah, Gargantua won. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I didn't see any write-ins. Nobody talked about any write-ins.
No, I don't think so. So, yeah, the absentee ballots won't be opened until they begin opening them, I believe, on the 17th.
Okay.
Because they have to wait 10 days for military ballots to be returned. Yep. So, to be continued.
And we did have another little wonky thing happen. The Common Council president, did you hear about that? What happened there?
Right, well, yeah, because there was a third candidate who came off the line too late, so he still appeared on the ballot.
Right, that was Victor Mendolia. Apparently he backed out of the race, but he backed out of the race a little bit too late, according to the rules. And his name was still on the ballot, but I guess some voters didn't realize that and still went ahead and voted for him. He got over 200 votes.
Yeah, he did.
And if he was off, people are saying that those votes would have gone towards Tom DiPietro, right? Tom DiPietro, yeah. And that would have had him win, but because of this mistake or whatever, Claudia DeStefano won. So there's still absentees to be counted in that race as well.
Right.
Nothing but drama in Hudson, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Hudson's
drama.
Hudson is fun, yeah. And nothing like New York State election law. It's very, very, very specific.
Yeah.
I was wondering
why maybe they couldn't, you know, at the polling places actually say, you know, the third person on the ballot is not supposed to be there, but they're really rigid when it comes to that, huh?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Just the way
so
you run your office.
If your name's on the ballot, yes.
We right can't do anything.
You know it.
No windows, no skin. She's the best boss on earth.
That's right.
So I think we're going to go into TV. What are you watching?
Yeah.
Oh, you said
I watched The Voice. Yeah, I did watch a little of The Voice last night. Which, did you hear the news?
Yeah, Blake and Gwen.
Yeah, what a cute couple.
Jesus, I'm sure a lot of guys are out there kicking themselves if they didn't make a move on Gwen because if Blake Shelton could get her, gee whiz.
I love Blake.
I'm telling you. Yeah, but he's not really up to snuff when it comes to Gwen Stefani. I'm sorry. I think she's just up there.
She is. She's beautiful. I liked her hair last night.
Excellent singer. She looked very calm, like post-coital almost.
She's very happy, yes.
That could have been the word of the day, but I have another one for
you. We should mention to our listeners that we are also being videotaped today, which is exciting.
We're conquering all media.
Yes.
We have a videographer, a photographer, there's a best boy, a key grip, there's a boom floating around here. I don't know what's happening to our little old show, but I'm happy.
All union approved, I hope. So that's very exciting. So yes, we will be doing extra. I just made a little motion like I'm smoking a cigarette because I'm relaxing in the afterglow as Gwen, I believe, is.
Yes.
So that was exciting. And I also watch Blacklist faithfully, and I'm liking the new show Blind Spot.
Yes. I just started getting into that, and anytime a map shows up on my body, I'm interested. So tune in.
It's quite the show. Yes, it's very titillating. That was a word of the day, wasn't it?
That was a word of the day. I think it was our very first show. And look how far we've come.
So that's fine.
In other news that really doesn't matter, we have Crayola for all you people that are out there doing your Christmas or, I'm sorry, holiday shopping, I should say, just to make sure everybody's included in this. Crayola has come out with adult coloring sets.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those.
Now, it's not to be confused. To, you know, and say X-rated, because you think adult coloring sets, you think X-rated. But these are for meditation and to bring, you know, adults back to when they were kids and when coloring was fun, and it really, you know, just put you at a peace of mind. And I think it's a good idea.
I want to get one for Christmas. It's going to go on my list.
Can we color together?
Yes.
Oh my God. What's your favorite color?
You know, I'm kind of partial to red.
I like periwinkle. I just like saying periwinkle.
Periwinkle is a fun color.
And another news that has nothing to do with anything.
Okay, good.
Pizza Hut has just come out with their triple threat box. So for the holidays, when you have your family over, you don't feel like cooking that big old turkey, go to Pizza Hut, apparently. There you have, it's like a dresser drawer full of pizza. It's a three-tiered box.
Has this been on TV?
No, it just came out Monday. Oh. It just came out yesterday. Oh, God. What day is it? I can't think. Okay, it's Tuesday, but it's Wednesday. But it just came out a couple days ago. And it's $19.99. And the top two tiers are medium pizzas that you pull them out like drawers in a dresser.
Wow.
And the top two tiers have two topping medium pizzas. And the bottom is a big old cookie with some breadsticks.
Wow.
So Pizza Hut's trying to, you know, get people enticed by their packaging.
Totally.
How about that?
That's really interesting that they would have pull-out drawer pizza boxes.
Very odd, but now I want to go to Pizza.
Interesting concept. Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
Man buns. How about man buns? You know what a man bun is?
Not sure we should go there.
No, it's not.
Man buns.
Right out of the gutter. This has nothing to do with food either. Oh. Man buns is a hairstyle that's taken over the world, and these guys are out there. You have longer hair, but the men are putting their hair up in buns.
Oh, I've seen that.
Like a female would do a bun.
Yes.
And then the hair hangs down. And I guess there's been reports out there now that these hairstyles are damaging the men's hair. So now they have clip-on man buns being sold.
Of course they do. Oh, of course they do.
So
Gary's going to get himself one. I can just see it now.
I don't think so.
But that is true, though. For women with longer hair, they do tell you, like, if you see a hairdresser regularly, that you shouldn't wear your hair even in a ponytail, because it is, it can be stressful.
My hair never grows that long
to your hair, so.
The information I want to say before we get to talking to Gary is happy birthday to my best friend, Denise Keegan.
Oh, yes, happy birthday.
11/11 is her birthday. I'm not going to tell you how old she is, but she'll be very happy to hear your birthday wishes. Happy birthday, Denise.
Oh, happy birthday, Denise. Love her. Awesome.
So we have Gary. You want to introduce Gary?
Yeah, let's
start talking to Gary.
Let's talk to Gary. We're so happy that he's here today. Retiring as a command sergeant major. Duty assignments included Germany, Vietnam, and Korea. He served as a member of the White House Task Force on transitioning from a draft army to the current all-volunteer army. And he's, like I said, been received numerous recognition awards. And upon retiring, I'm reading his lengthy bio, held a dual status of both a command sergeant major and a captain. Among the numerous awards and citation, Legion of Merit, Soldier's Medal for Heroism, Bronze Star, 6 Good Conduct Medals, that's exciting, Humanitarian Medal, National Defense Medal, 3 Overseas Medals, 2 Vietnam Service Medals, the Vietnam Cross of Gallantry, Vietnam Civic Action Medal, New York Conspicuous Medal with 5 devices. You've been Soldier of the Year for 3 times.
I'm just not reading anything about the Olympic gold medal. You've gotten everything else, Gary. I mean, like, where's that one on this list?
I didn't get to it.
Oh, is it in there?
VFW Active Duty Soldier of the Year, South Korea Presidential Citation for Community Service, and in 2014, most recently, you were added to the New York State Senate Veterans Hall of Fame by Senator Kathy Marchione. In addition to other community awards and recognitions, very active in the community, even before he became director of the Veterans Affairs Office and also the VetTrack program. So that's Gary, our guest today. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely. So, I kind of went over a bunch of things, but, you know, how old were you when you joined the military?
17.
17.
Yeah. I was in high school in West Virginia. My father wanted me to stay and work in the coal mines, and since I was a young kid, I wanted to be in the military.
Really? You knew even
I really wanted to be a Marine, but I went down to, the recruiters only came to our town once a week, and the day I went down to join the Marines, they told me the Marine was on vacation, and the Army said I have a 2-for-1 special, and being a poor kid from West Virginia, you just jump at it, and so he told me that I was sworn in to the Army, and I would go to Germany as a cavalry scout and tank truck driver.
Uh-huh.
And by going to Germany and picking the MOS I wanted, the military occupation I wanted, he would swear me in that day.
Wow.
Put me by the flag, told me to raise my hand, congratulated me.
Same day.
And I started to walk down the stairs to go home, and the Marine recruiter came up the stairs.
Oh.
I said, I thought you were on vacation. And he said, no, I was having a cup of coffee.
Oh, little trickster. Oh, that's fine. Now, what did your parents think of that?
Well, my father, in the town we were in West Virginia, you were expected to serve your country.
Yeah.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you. You know, there's a lot of, you know, kids, teenagers, they get themselves into the military or the army, you know, some, whatever faction of the, or whatever part of the military armed forces they join. I always wonder, what is your specific reason for getting in there? Is it to defend your country, or is it to get some bad guys, or is it to make your family proud, or is it a little bit of everything?
Well, I think it's a lot of things, and in my particular case, we grew up in an environment. I had five sisters and three brothers in the community we grew up in. You were just expected to serve our country.
Mm-hmm. Was there fear, you know, at that age, or you just knew that that's what you were supposed to do?
Yeah. I didn't even have any fear in Vietnam.
No.
Wow.
Then that became dangerous to not
to not
fear.
Have fear. Right, yeah. Right, yeah. Now, any of your siblings in the military, or are you the only one?
No, my brother was an MP during Vietnam, and my daughter is at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, as a Russian linguist and intelligence.
Oh, very nice.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank her for her service. That's great. Very good. So after you retired from the service, is that when you came to Columbia County? Or?
Yeah, I ended up, I did a tour of recruiting duty in the upstate New York area, and after I retired is when I met my wife. I was having a lot of problems at that time with PTSD from the war, and had just come back from Korea as my last overseas assignment on DMC, and met my wife Tammy.
Mm-hmm.
And I say today that the support she gave me and the counseling I got from the VA is where I turned myself around.
Helped a lot, yeah. Now that's one of the things actually that you're doing now in your role, and I guess we can get more into that, but you're seeing a lot of that now, aren't we? The post-traumatic
stress disorder.
And particularly with these young kids coming home today from the war zones, in a lot of ways they're worse off than we were because they would just get home and next thing you know they're back over in a war zone.
Right.
So they just had one tour after another. One of the ironies with post-traumatic stress is I'm finding World War II guys today who are coming down with PTSD, and mainly after their spouse dies. And they sit around, they start thinking about their life,
mm-hmm.
and the next thing you know, the war starts coming back on.
Wow.
Well, it's interesting to note that, and I neglected to mention, it's not, it might be on your bio, but Gary also serves on the Columbia County Honor Vet Committee, of which I'm currently chairperson of, but that's one of the things that we notice, and I know you had served as chairman of that committee, is that in a lot of the ceremonies, what the committee does is we honor deceased veterans who reside in, or used to reside in Columbia County, and they're nominated by their families, and when families come and they speak, they often say, you know, Dad never, or Uncle John, or whomever we're honoring, you know, never spoke about what happened, you know, never talked about what happened. And you find that's a common theme, right, among our older veterans?
Well, among all veterans, all from that matter. And veterans talk to veterans.
Yeah.
But a lot of us keep everything in.
And that can be a problem.
And one of the things that I tell veterans, last year I had to talk three out of suicide.
Wow.
One of them was a veteran who was a SEAL. And did five tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And his wife called me one time, 3:30 in the morning, said that he took a shotgun and went to a motel across the bridge in Catskill.
Yeah.
And because I'd been working with him for 2 years on his compensation, he would said he wouldn't talk to anybody but me. So I got up and went and got him and said, I've been telling you that this day was coming and you need to get yourself into inpatient care. And he said, well, I respect you as a command sergeant major and all you've done for me and my family. If you order me into treatment, I'll go.
Oh.
And I said, well, I'm not only ordering you, I'm taking you right now. So I took, and it's really a success story because I took him to the VA and he was in Albany VA for 30 days in treatment.
Wow.
Went to Canandaigua, and in Canandaigua he spent 6 months in PTSD and traumatic brain injury treatment. And when he came home, we got his family and him reunited. By that time, I had gotten his compensation case approved through the VA, and he got a back pay of over $100,000.
Oh, wow.
And he now, and the family is happily living in a new home down in Socrates.
Oh, nice.
And we talk, he and I talk, continue to talk about it every couple of weeks, because his doctor said, and I know from experience, that you've got to stay in touch with these guys.
So that's an important message to family members of people who are veterans. You know, it's important to check in with them and make sure that they're okay, because they do keep things inside, and there's still a lot of hurt and, you know, pain and, you know, experience of what they've gone through. It just because they're not talking about it doesn't mean that it's not still living inside, you know. And whether you are a family member of someone or just a friend or a neighbor, maybe it's a good idea to check in with them just to make sure they're doing okay.
And today we have the highest suicide rate in the history of our military.
Which is surprising, though, considering what conflicts we have been through in the past and the horrors of war. And I know it's different, though, now, isn't it, when the engagements that we're involved in, and it's a different type of war than what, say, you experienced.
Well, war is war.
Yeah.
And no matter what kind of war it is, if they're shooting at you and you're shooting at them, that, you know, it never goes away.
Right.
And when I meet the veteran and they're suffering from their issues with the war, first thing they ask me, did you serve? Did you see combat? And did you have any effects? And once we establish that, they open right up.
Yeah.
And I've been able to get a lot of people through treatment programs and up at the VA in Albany, and we have one of the better VAs in the country.
I was going to ask you about that, what your thoughts were on the VA, and so the one in Albany is pretty good, huh?
Yeah. Only, as you know, there's been a lot of scandals
right across
the country, and when the IG came to inspect and after the new director in Washington sent him out, Albany came out the second best VA in the Northeast.
Wow.
And only White River Junction in Vermont was number one.
Wow. Now, how long have you been? Oh, I'm sorry, here.
Go ahead.
I was
going to
ask, how long have you been director of the county?
About 6 years.
Okay.
And what specifically does your office do for the veterans?
Well, a whole lot of things. I'm not in the office very often. I stay out in the county doing outreach programs. We have a lot of veterans who are in wheelchairs or not able to get out, and they need services, and they call in, or the family calls in. I go out and meet with them at the house. We provide transportation every day, go around the county, pick up the veterans, take them up to their appointments at the VA in Albany, and then at the end of the day, when the last appointment is finished, we bring them back and drop them off to the different points around the county. A couple things that I'm really proud of, that I started when I came down, was the outreach program for homeless veterans. I was finding veterans living on the Hudson River, in the woods, in their cars, and on the park benches. And I've been really, really proud of the fact that the last 3 years, Cumbia County is the only county in New York that has no homeless veterans.
Wow, that's great.
And yeah. I've been able to find them as much using the outreach program and programs like this, and that if a veteran's in danger of being homeless, I use Soldier On over in Pittsfield or the VA system to get them into housing. The other thing that I'm really proud of that Cumbia County has is our justice outreach program. If anybody gets picked up in jail and taken to the jail now, first question on the sheet is, did you serve in the military? Used to be, were you a veteran?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people didn't know they were a veteran. The National Guard or reservist didn't consider themselves a veteran.
Okay.
So I went to all the committees and all the department heads in the county and had them change their intake forms to say, did you serve? And then they refer them to me, and I determine whether or not they're eligible for veterans benefits. And in the Justice Outreach Program, if somebody's taken to jail and they're a veteran, I get a call from the jail. I'm over there so much. I check every Monday morning. And at the point where they see me walk in the door, and they said, are you coming inside today? But since February, we've had nobody in jail. With a couple exceptions, and that is if I don't care whether they're a veteran or what they are, if they're arrested on sexual abuse of a child, I won't talk to them.
Right.
That's just my own personal
code. Quite a good view, yeah.
But Judge Nichols, Judge Kowick, all the local justices, I have justices that call me in the middle of the night and say, I have a veteran just got picked up on a DWI. Can you be in court with him?
Mm-hmm.
And I've spoken before the Justice Association here in Columbia County and the president, Judge O'Hara, you probably know her.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was so impressed that she called Dutchess County. And they said, would I come down and speak to their group? Because they had no program like we had.
How many people do you have in your department helping, you know, with the veterans? Is it just you? Is it a few of you?
Well, it's me. I have two part-time secretaries. I have two part-time drivers that take the veterans up there.
How can we learn about the, I know you have, is there a, is the Veterans Department on the county website?
Yes.
Is there a phone number?
Yeah. And I'm happy if you have no problem putting out my cell phone.
Go ahead.
Oh, sure.
That's your call. Yeah.
My cell phone is 518-610-0941.
So if you're a veteran and you need to speak to someone, Gary is the man to talk to. I know you're very hands-on, Gary. I mean, really, having worked in the county for a number of years, even before I was clerk, you know, you've really gone, taken that role above and beyond, very hands-on. So for you to give out your cell phone number, that's really quite cool. Very awesome. Yeah.
And you are going to be the guest speaker at the at the Veterans Day services held on Wednesday morning.
Starts at 10 o'clock, doesn't it, tomorrow?
Yes.
So while this is airing, it'll be going on.
Gary, you're going to be all over the place tomorrow, honey. Wow.
You're
going
to be on the radio.
Live and on the radio. Wow.
We're doing the wreath laying at the 7th Street Park.
7th Street Park.
Right here.
And then
at 10 o'clock?
Right.
That's at 10:15, according to the register store.
Okay.
That's correct. And then after that, we have a parade down to the courthouse where the monuments are, and then we'll have our program down
there.
Right.
Yeah, it's very nice.
And just in case anybody is listening to this morning, which is now Wednesday, the parade is going on, and
we should go thank our veterans.
Yeah, it's going to be starting from the 7th Street Park and going down Warren Street, cutting over 4th, and ending up at the courthouse, where the services will happen, and you'll get to hear Gary speak over there.
Yes, yeah, it should be very nice. So you can always come back and check in with us on the archives, but important to thank our veterans on Veterans Day.
Yeah, and you'll be over there with Vince Grimaldi, and Vince
yes,
was on our show.
Vince was a guest, that's right, yeah.
And Vince is the commander of the Columbia County VFW Post 1314.
Yes.
And
their hosts, right.
You
so
have,
what's your, go ahead. I was going to say, Gary, what's your favorite part of the job?
I thought you were going to ask him his favorite color.
We have to ask him his favorite color. You asked me.
It did.
Yes. What is your favorite color?
There shouldn't be any questions. OD.
OD?
That's it.
What is
it? I was like, OD. Well, our last show when we had D.A. Chaika and Jim Bertram, we asked Paul and Jim, and Paul said plaid, which Justin is wearing today.
Right.
And Bertram said camo.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any real colors from anybody yet, have we? Oh, Bill Holmbeck did say sky blue. I think that was the only real.
And I guess we should say out of the election, jumping back, segueing into elections, congratulations to Paul Chaika. He was successful in his re-election.
Congratulations,
so
Paul.
Very nice. And Jim Bertram and PJ Keeler were unopposed. So they were successful. They voted for themselves and they won. So.
And while you mentioned the DA's office is fantastic. When I go to court and the judge asks me to come in with the veteran, the ADAs, and Paul's there by himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He
and
said that.
They really give consideration to our veterans.
Right, which is great. I just had lunch today with my, before this, today, Tuesday, with my parents and my cousin, who currently resides in California, but he's home. He is a veteran as well. Peter, shout out. And he was a Vietnam-era veteran. He and his brothers were all in the military. Peter, Paul, and George. So we really do live in the greatest country in the world, in the free world. And it's because of people like Gary and all the veterans out there that it is such a great country and we have the freedoms that we have. So just a shout out.
And we do want to thank you. If we haven't already said that,
we really
want to thank you for your service. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, thank all veterans.
All veterans. Yeah, absolutely.
And I do want to say, I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
Yeah, part of the tours they have in Vietnam now is in Cu Chi, which they give them tours of the tunnels. And my job in Vietnam is a tunnel rat.
Oh, really?
There's no such official job in the Army. But being in the combat engineers and being small, and this is another irony because I want to be a door gunner on a helicopter, and they called me in and said, "No, you're too small."
Oh.
I weighed about 117 at the time.
You fall right out, probably.
And
we're going to put you down there and have you run through the tunnels.
And this is when we were just building up in Vietnam at 65.
Okay.
And so they said, "We're starting this new thing." Well, when the military says they're starting a new thing, they want you involved, you know. You know, watch out.
You're the guinea pig.
But I was a staff sergeant at the time, allowed to pick my own team, and our job was to go into the tunnels and search and destroy. A lot of people don't know those tunnels were, some of them were bigger than the city of Albany.
Really?
They had three layers. The bottom layer was so deep in the ground that they had hospitals and command and control centers.
Oh, no.
And the B-52s could bomb and you couldn't even hear it.
But so when you say tunnel, though, was it really like a, or it was
no, they were
much more
massive underground tunnels.
Okay. So it wasn't like you were calling.
And some of them were little.
That's
well, picture. Some of them were little holes that you crawled through
really?
Place with a flashlight and a
still that
and a 45.
Given me,
you and me down there in the tunnel.
Oh, I really can't.
Well, and the irony of it all was that when I came back, my dad said, "Well, I told you to stay in the coal mines. We didn't shoot at you."
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But you were down underground.
You don't know how good you had it right
there. Wow, in the coal mines. Oh, my goodness. Justin, you were going to ask. I think we're going to take a little music break.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell everybody that today, Wednesday, this is Tuesday. We keep on saying it. But Wednesday morning, the actual Veterans Day, the hospital cafe, the Paul and Clara Kellner Cafe, is celebrating and honoring vets by serving complimentary meals to all veterans. So come in and relax and enjoy a meal with them.
You're going to take a musical interlude. Justin picked Alan Jackson's Amazing Grace, which is a lovely song. It's a beautiful song. So stay tuned. We will be back very shortly. We're going to take a musical break, and then we're going to talk some more with Gary Flynn. So stay tuned.
Thank you. 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now
lovely song by Alan Jackson, Amazing Grace. Thank you so much. And welcome back, listeners. This is Holly and...
and Justin Weaver.
And we're here taping Tuesday for your listening enjoyment on Wednesday with our special guest, Gary Flaherty, the County Veterans Director.
We'll have to start paying better attention about me. I'm happy we're recording this because now people can see what happens behind the scenes.
And we're back. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in or checking us out on the archives at www.wgxc.org. Always look for the show, Something to Talk About with Holly and...
Justin Weaver.
Justin Weaver, Holly Tang, and Justin Weaver. We also actually should just say thank you to all of our... contributors to the Dead Air Silence, the fundraiser that we just held here at the station.
Because oh, yeah.
We met our goal even before the deadline was up, so that's wonderful. It's folks like you who donate that allow shows like this to be possible, so we say thank you to you as well. So we're back. We're talking with Gary Flaherty, who is the Columbia County Director of Veterans Affairs and the VetTrack program, which assists returning OEF OIF veterans. So, Gary, you gave out your cell phone number before, which is so cool, but you want to do that again?
Sure. It's 518-610-0941.
And you're pretty much willing to do just about, I know you've gone out in the middle of the night to help veterans. You're helping people from going off the bridge, like committing suicide. You know, you're really there for the veterans.
What I tell everybody is, as a command sergeant major, I took care of my troops, and now I dedicate my life to take care of our veterans.
Again, which is awesome. We should mention, Justin, I know you said there's, in addition to the other veterans events that are going on tomorrow, there's something on Thursday at Columbia Green Community College.
Yes, they have the Boots to Books Veteran Education Workshop, and that's Thursday, November 12th from 4 to 5 o'clock. And this is a workshop designed to assist veteran students in their transition from military to academics. Then they'll have a big list of topics they're going to cover, such as educational benefits, military educational benefits, transitioning to formal education. There's going to be a panel discussion. And to register or for any further information, you can contact Christine Perry over at the college, the Office of Community Services. And the number to reach her at is 518-828-4181, and she's at extension 3126.
And also part of the college's Veterans Education Day, that night, Thursday night at 7 p.m., they are having Beyond Glory, which is Stephen Lang's acclaimed one-man show, which tells the stories of the 8 Medal of Honor winners. So that's a show not to be missed. Tickets are $18 or $12 for students or senior citizens, and get your ticket by calling 518-828-4181, extension 3126. And again, those both events are going on at Columbia Green Community College, which is very supportive of veterans
yes.
on the community. We're lucky to have people like Gary and the college and all that. I know a lot of local restaurants are doing things for veterans tomorrow, free meals, etc. So
yes, and I was going to ask you once again, Holly, to talk about how a family could nominate the veteran and their family for the Honor of Vet.
For the Honor of Vet ceremony, which our last ceremony is coming up this month. There's a break over the winter months, and then we start up back again in March.
In March.
But so to apply to have your veteran nominated, you can get an application, which is at Gary's office, actually, at 401 State Street in Hudson. I believe the applications are online, Gary, or are they not?
I'm not sure.
We're not sure. Okay, so probably your best bet is to call. Do you know the office number, Gary?
It's 828-3610.
So that's the number for the veterans office, and they're open Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Every day.
Okay,
no, I noticed online when I was looking to find some information about this. There's two different offices for veterans, right? Veterans Affairs and Veterans Services, or are both of those in the same office?
Yes, it's Columbia County Veterans Services.
Okay, all right, so that's over at 401 State Street.
Right, so, and that's where you can get the application and ask any of the questions or get any of the services to talk if you're a veteran or a family member of a veteran, which is very important. We were speaking on the break about one of the most important things that a veteran can do, and that is in regards to their separation papers. So when a veteran retires from the military and they are honorably discharged, or however they're discharged, but at any rate, you get something called a DD-214. Is that correct, Gary?
That's right.
Yes, and what should veterans do with that document?
Well, most important is to register it with the county clerk.
Yes.
And
shout out.
That's you,
is it? Hey, now.
Because that document is entry into everything the veteran needs,
isn't it?
And to get registered to VA for medical care, for funeral benefits, for widow benefits, you need to copy the DD-214. And oftentimes families will lose it. Or I've had cases where there's been a fire or a divorce, and we need a 214 right away.
Right.
If
you can't find it.
If it's in your office, we can get it faxed to us and
absolutely
move
get
forward.
The copy right away. And so, yeah, any veteran can come to my office at 560 Warren Street and file record your DD-214. It's a secure document. It's not a public document. It's only available to the veteran or their families with permission, because it does have a lot of confidential information on it. But it's free for the veteran to file. And then at the same time, Columbia County, Gary and I started a program called Return the Favor, which stands for Find and Assist Vets on Record. So when you come in and record your DD-214, we will issue you an identity card. It has your photo on it and your address, and you can use that card. It says Return the Favor. It's got the county seal on it, so it's an official document. And there's a number of area businesses who will give you a discount if you show your favor card. It was just the Chamber of Commerce also worked with us on this. We're trying to get more businesses enrolled in the program. So if you frequent a business and you're a veteran, you should encourage them to sign up with the program. And, you know, it's just a way of, the real purpose of the program is, like Gary said, is to get that 214 recorded, because without that document, even after the veteran passes on, for the families to have that document is extremely important. But it's also a little way that businesses can say thank you to veterans for everything that they've done, you know. Our veterans have gone above and beyond.
And we should thank the merchants for giving that discount, because I hear from veterans all the time saying, you know, I went to Lowe's and I got a truckload of stuff, and I used my favorite card.
Right, yeah.
But on the same lines, the VA will only issue a card if they're registered for VA benefits.
It's a very important distinction, Gary.
And now Congress has passed, and the President signed a new bill that we're waiting for implementation instructions, where every veteran will have a veteran's photo ID.
Interesting, because, yeah, a lot, actually, several of the big box stores, if you will, wouldn't participate in local counties, and I believe there's 33 or 34 counties across the state that have favor programs, and we were finding it at the big box stores because of corporate rules and regulations weren't honoring these locally issued cards. They would only accept a VA card, and we said, well, because I went up and argued with our one big box store with the manager, and I said, well, not every veteran gets a VA card because not every veteran has need to go to the VA, but that doesn't mean that they're not a veteran and they didn't serve and they deserve the discount. So it was a bit of an argument. So that's interesting to hear, and it's true. It was actually Lowe's.
Oh.
Yeah. So Lowe's is odd. It depends on when you go and how you hit there, but they kind of sometimes do it. Corporate says that they can only honor it on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, and there's one other holiday when they will accept the county card. Otherwise, they say you have to have a VA card.
Did you win that fight?
Sort of, because again, we hear different stories. Some veterans say they got the discount, not during those times, but it was really corporate, which I believe corporate for Lowe's is down south somewhere, and they were saying they were dealing with a lot of fraud, but this type of issue. So it turned into a bit of
I think it's in Illinois.
Muckety muck.
Don't ask me why I know that.
You're just full of, you should go on Jeopardy, Justin.
I really should.
Font
well,
of information.
I was on Scholastic Matchup years ago when it was on the high school quiz bowl.
Really? Does Lance Wheeler have that
video? It's in the archives over there.
Oh, we're going to dig that out.
That was quite amazing.
Awesome.
There in Holly.
So, Gary, tell us about some of what you, where are the places you visited or your tours of duty? Where were you stationed?
Well, all over the United States.
Uh-huh.
AIT at Fort Knox, Kentucky, after I took basic, became a tank gunner. I went to Germany for 3 years, was in Bamberg, Germany, where we ran patrols on the Czech-German border, East German border.
Wow.
And in fact, I was over there when Kennedy got killed.
Oh, wow.
And you talk about a tense time.
Yeah, right.
We were alerted, had to roll our tanks to the border, and the Czechs and the East Germans and the Russians had their tanks there, and their gun barrels were ready to fire, loaded, just like ours were.
Really?
Because we had no idea at the time, what was going on. I came back from Germany and went to Fort Benning, Georgia, where I thought I was going to spend some time in the States. I was there for about 6 months, and the Gulf of Tonkin happened, and I immediately got orders to go to Vietnam.
Wow.
And went to Vietnam and extended. Was in Vietnam from the end of 1965 to the end of, after Tet, 68.
Wow.
Came back, and my first tour back was I was an Army recruiter in Plattsburgh, New York.
Okay.
And one of the things that's in the bio that everybody talks about is the Gold Star mothers in Plattsburgh wanted to built a monument dedicated to their sons that were killed in Vietnam. And the four military recruiters, myself, the Navy, Marines, Air Force, and me, walked the perimeter of Clinton County, which was 100 miles. I did the last 57 miles on crutches.
Unbelievable.
Which,
wow.
What had happened is I had an ammo dump explosion in Vietnam, and I had shrapnel in my knee. And I thought I could make it. It was a cold October day. I'll never forget it. But the Navy and Air Force dropped out, and the Marine and I were determined we would not. So they airlifted me back to the Plattsburgh Air Force Base Hospital. Doctors said, you can't go anymore. Go home. I'll give you some crutches. And I said, no, we're going to finish it.
Wow.
I finished the last 57 miles on
57 miles on crutches. How long did that take you? Guys.
We were gone a little over 2 days.
Wow.
And my knee didn't hurt so much, but my armpit
stitched.
See, now I've done 23 on roller skates. Does that count?
Oh, that's saying something. Yeah. Actually, yeah, 23 miles on roller skates. Yeah, I won't.
Just kidding.
It's nothing to laugh about.
It's a joke.
Just kidding.
And I served in Seattle, Fort Lewis, Washington. Fort Bliss, Texas, where I went to the Service Major School, and then from there I went to Korea and served on the demilitarized zone in Korea, where we were talking during a break that most people don't understand that we're still technically at war with North Korea.
Yeah, you said that during the break, which
and
I guess people don't think about.
While I was over there, we actually got into a firefight with the North Koreans trying to infiltrate south. the last weekend I was there.
Wow.
Ended up killing 13 North Koreans.
Wow.
And even today, they're still probing. And
oh, right.
Because historically, we never signed a peace treaty.
Okay.
And at the end of war, they signed an armistice, to a ceasefire, actually.
Sure.
And 2 years ago, when a new honcho in North Korea took over, and we were harassing about their potential to have nuclear weapons,
right.
Which we know that they do.
Right.
He withdrew the treaty, and we're back technically in a state of war.
Wow. Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people do realize that, but while you were there, you mentioned this also, that because of your stature, your rank, you had both American troops and Korean troops serving under you, and so you learned Korean while there, so we wanted to say, like, good day or something.
Annyeonghaseyo, which means
God bless you.
Hello, and welcome, and
hello, and welcome.
A whole lot of things. also means goodbye.
Oh, does it really? Hello and goodbye.
Right.
Yes. Bonjour, a lot of foreign.
But I have to tell you, the South Koreans were, you know, I love my tour in Korea. People
were
really good to us.
Yeah.
And they really know that their security depends on our troops, and we still have 33,000 troops in South Korea.
Wow. I was going to ask you if you knew how many there were. So when you eventually retired, was it hard to retire? Was it hard to get out of that mindset, that military frame of mind, or do you ever?
You're not going to believe this, Holly. my last assignment was in Fort Myer, Virginia, where my job was to oversee the staffing at the White House and at the Pentagon. And we also oversaw the burials in Arlington Cemetery. And any enlisted person was buried on a particular day. It was my job to accompany the family. And we would do like 8-10 generals a day.
Wow.
And then the commander of the post job was to accompany the officers' families. And I spent a lot of time going to parties at the White House and the Senate and congressional parties, and the politics were too bad. I said, I'm retiring because I don't want to be a political soldier.
Oh, wow.
And as you know, I eventually got involved in politics and was on the town board in Canaan for 8 years and was supervisor.
And you also do something fun now, though, which is sort of politically related, but you were just telling us how you're on the committee for Congressman Gibson, but you actually started with Congresswoman Gillibrand for the West Point, right?
All four academies.
All four academies, okay.
And this is the time of the year where we get candidates' resumes and their packets and applying for West Point, the Naval Academy, the Air Force Academy, and the Merchant Marine Academy.
Oh, very good.
And we interview every kid that applies in the 19th Congressional District. And then in first Sunday in December, they all have to come together in Kingston and do a group interview. And I have to tell you, this is one of my highlights of the year.
I like that.
Being exposed to these young kids. And I've had reporters come in during, I had an incident in Saratoga when it used to be the congressional district covering Saratoga Springs. And I was interviewing a group. And this reporter came in and asked the clerk at the desk, it was at the hall to begin, what all the kids were lined up for. And she said, oh, he's in there recruiting him for military academies. So she bursted into one of my interviews, and she said, how dare you? There's a war going on, and you're trying to get people to go into the military? And I said, wait a minute. So I asked the young candidate to leave, and I said, and I got right in her face. I said, lady, let me tell you. You know, I put up with all this stuff from the reporters when I came back from Vietnam, and I'm not going to have these young, outstanding people exposed. And if you put more of their news stories on your front pages instead of the bad kids that just got busted for something, we would be in a better country and a better community. And she said, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore.
Oh, my goodness. That's actually interesting. You know, so you did see some of the anger and when you returned from Vietnam.
It was horrible, right?
Difficult.
It, And a lot of Vietnam vets will tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
There were, things were so bad when we came home. You know, I flew into Travis Air Force Base, and because I was going to stay in the military, and for my next assignment, they bussed us over to Oakland Army Terminal. And on the way, the kids would line up from students from Berklee College, throw rocks at us.
Really?
Wow.
All kinds of stuff at the buses that were transporting us over. And there were times that, I know in my particular case, I felt that I would have been better off back in the jungles than being back in our own country.
Wow, that's horrible. I'm glad we've taken a sea change in regards to our veterans and how they're treated.
Well, we made a commitment as Vietnam vets that we'd never let another generation be treated like we were.
Yeah.
And I lived that.
Right.
And along those lines, I should tell everybody that you and your wife, for the past 20 Memorial Days, have placed over 450 American flags on the graves of all the veterans, so you really haven't forgotten all your brothers in that way. And what I want to ask you is, what's the message? Why do you stay so involved?
I guess the commitment that I made to my country and to my fellow veterans, I think that's what keeps me motivated. I know sometimes my wife gets concerned that I spend too much time.
Yeah.
There are times that, you know, I'll put in 50, 60 hours a week.
You gave out your cell phone number on the radio, Gary. That's a commitment right there.
Awesome.
Thank you very much for that. Do you see the sense of patriotism? I mean, you mentioned doing these interviews with the young people. Is there still that, do you see that drive for people to get, to become a member of the military? Is it still there, or is it more of a selfish generation? I don't know.
Well, I think it's taking a turn more positive than it's been before.
Well, that's good. That's good to hear. It's important.
But I know these kids are very proud of to serve.
Yeah.
Last year, one of the females I interviewed had applied for the Military Academy at West Point. And during the interview, I said, if you go through the academy, if you're selected, you go through the academy, what do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, an airborne ranger.
Wow.
And I went home and told my wife, that Tammy, that she's going to be our selectee. At least my vote.
It's tough, huh?
Yeah.
Hardcore.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. And so there's more good coming out of things. That's wonderful. And we appreciate everything you do in the county. Gary, I don't know if you have any other questions, Justin?
My final question, you know, I was going to ask about if you, you know, how you felt about the young people and how they treated vets and if they were giving respect, but I think you just covered that. The only other question I was going to ask you was what more can be done countywide and in our country for vets that's not already happening?
Well, I think the important thing is that we remember veterans every day, not one or 2 days a year.
I agree.
And when you see a veteran, you know, thank you for their service. I know in some of the conversations I have, veterans are embarrassed when they thank them because we didn't go for and serve our country because we wanted to be thanked.
Right, right.
But I do think that more can be done with the VA system to take care of our veterans. And it is, and particularly in Albany. The VA system up there, we have a special program for OEF, OIF vets, which is Iraqi and Afghan veterans that can go there for counseling. And I've had a lot of people from Columbia County that we put through that program that have decent lives and much better lives. I would also like to say that I appreciate the support I get from the Board of Supervisors in the county.
Yeah, they're there for the veterans, definitely, and
right.
For you, and they recognize your value. I know that, so very good. Well, thank you, Gary, for your service and
yes.
for coming in.
Thank you very
and
much.
And talking with us. This has been great.
Thank you.
Very informative.
The only other thing is they have the green light.
Oh, yeah, the
green light event is going on. And that's where you just change a porch light or something, you know, a light in your house to green for Veterans Day or, you know, for the week. To show veterans that they are remembered. Right now, Walmart, Lowe's, and Home Depot are carrying green lights.
Okay.
So you can go out there. I know ShopRite has them too. Buy a bulb, just replace your front porch. It's very simple. You know, put the green light in there and have it shining at night. you know, that can be your way to remember the vets and show your support and love.
Yeah, I think that's a good initiative. It's similar to the Yellow Ribbon.
Right.
The Yellow Ribbon symbolism of,
yes,
remembering veterans and supporting them and wanting them all to come home safely. I'll shout out, you know, give Harrington's a try too. They might have green light bulbs because they support our favorite program. So.
And they're up in Prairieville, Hillsdale-ish.
Yeah, we're in Williams right down here too.
Yeah,
so thanks everyone so much for listening in. We really appreciate it. And tune back in with us for our next scheduled show, which will be live on Wednesday, the fourth Wednesday of the month. I don't have my calendar up, so I'm not going to tell you the date, but. And if you're a veteran and you're in need of services, you can Google, I bet, Columbia County Veterans Services, and you'll find ways to, you'll probably be directed to the county website and go from there for contact information or listen back to the show where Gary gives out his cell phone number. That's awesome. So
get over there to that parade today.
Yep. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy your Veterans Day. Thank you, veterans.
All right, thank you.